hungry for adventure?
Do you crave hilarious and perilous tabletop campaigns?
Don't bother rolling perception, pal. We've got you covered.
Behold, Dungeons and Doritos, Nerdy Show's epic tabletop audio drama, a cinematic serial of mayhem-filled, morally questionable quests at DungeonsandDoritos.com.
Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And of course, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On, and it is our 200th episode anniversary special. I don't know if there should be some kind of effect or something, but there's not.
I am so tired of my agent booking me these chicken shit gigs.
Do you know I finally connected that to the source because of RuPaul?
Oh, Jesus, Bob.
I was like, oh my God, that's the thing Oral always says. I didn't know what it was from.
We should have hype horns.
What? Oh.
High porns.
No, we should not.
No.
God, no.
What about just vuvuzelas?
Oh, you know what?
I was actually thinking that.
I want to bring back the vuvuzela. Because you know what? Here's the thing. I'm going to be watching a lot of the World Cup for the month of June because that's how I'm going to find my husband, who a little butch, but also is really gay and likes to go out to clubs and bars with me.
It's nice to have a plan.
That's a good plan. So in order of, well, you've heard all their voices. We got clockwise from me, BJ.
Hey.
Oral.
From the beginning.
Eric.
Hi.
And Pat.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And I'm Brian. And yeah, we are actually, this is our 200th episode. We are going to talk a little bit about where we came from. It's important to know your history.
Because I know where I'm going. And I know where I've been. Yes, she knows where she's been.
Thank you, Motormouth.
Is that who that is?
Motormouth Maybell, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I'm so bad.
So
we are a gay and geeky pop culture podcast. We are going to talk about the latest in pop culture. All of that is going to happen. But before we get into that, I just wanted to give a quick where we came from. I have two people with me who started at the very beginning. Eric, who he and I and my brother, who is not here with us, did a podcast called Media Mess.
Here we go, dragging that.
Seriously,
we're talking about
Flame On's history.
Hold on,
I know it comes before that.
Before
but it always
the world,
goes back to it.
Do you know
the world was four?
Do you know when we started that, Eric?
When the moon was in the seventh house and Jupiter aligned with Mars.
It's going to be 10 years in July.
Jiminy Cricket.
Seriously, we started that in my little office at my old house. And then that lasted a couple of years. And then I said, you know, this is fine. Pop culture is great. But I kept wanting to have these more gay and queer conversations. There weren't a lot of gay podcasts back then. There was like Comic Book Queers and there was Fanboys of the Universe, if you remember that of them.
Fanboys of the Universe. I miss that.
I know, right? No, I mean, they both are still around in certain forms, but neither do a regular podcast anymore.
Fanboys is still around?
They have like a Facebook group or they have like a thing where they do post. Maybe it's Tumblr.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they don't do a show, though. Like every now and again, I think they do an episode. But anyway, long story short, I said, hey, I go to this comic shop called A Comic Shop. I know gay people at A Comic Shop, including Oral. I should start a little show. And I bet you the up-and-coming media empire Nerdy Show would love to have a gay and geeky pop culture commentary podcast for their network.
How did I hitch my wagon to this?
It's very Little Shop of Horrors. Like, I can just see you walking down the street and just being like, I think this needs to happen.
Well, I convinced...
Me.
I, not unlike Seymour, I convinced Oral, Jared, Eric, Punzone, Phoenix, let's say, Daddy. What do we call him? We had all kinds of names for him over the years.
Muscle Daddy.
Muscle Daddy. And the question, now famously known as Joshua Yale for IGN, I convinced all those bitches to sit down and do a couple episodes. In fact, I have, and I think we may have even put up in the SoundCloud feed, the very first episode.
Oh, my God.
And it is up there still for posterity. It is. It's actually not bad. It could have been a lot worse.
You know what? We did an amazing job for what we had back then, which was no producer, no sort of like experience. That was years ago. And now that I look back on it, I think, what have I done with my life?
You should. You totally should. But you know, the nice side effect is you have all of these audio moments documenting your life for the last 7 years.
Oh, you
so.
Mean?
I need to go back and listen to these.
Like weeks worth of audio, which is just an existential crisis.
Yep. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
And wait, which first episode? Because there are technically two.
So
we have a zero episode there.
Did we new 52 this a couple times?
No. Oh. So we did a test recording, and then we went to Gay Days for the little group outing. And I think the first episode, I got to double check, was like the You Dry episode.
You Dry. Thank you, Johnny McGovern, who to this day is one of my greatest experiences. I'm just going to do my one up now. when you guys are like, hey, your birthday is coming up. Also, here's your Christmas present, which was a card, and you telling me that I got to see Johnny McGovern in person at the Parliament House for a intimate and extreme performance of his show with Lady Red Couture, which I think about, no lie, every day, or whenever I listen to his podcast,
well,
which is
sense.
The gayest of all time.
Well, and you got to sit front row. And he sang to you one of the lines of one of his songs.
I just shut up, because we're not going to talk about how real that was. Some of you know, but that's not important.
So we did have like a fake or a zero episode, and then we did our first one. But like Oral alluded to, this was mostly a labor of love.
Mostly? It's always been
it's
a labor,
always been
like
a labor of
is.
Love.
I had to turn down a gentleman to be here.
Well,
that's how you know I love this
it's
thing.
It's hard choices.
How many times?
After a few years of mainly running the show myself and doing all the audio production myself with my meager and limited abilities, Pat did enter into my life and took over all of that fun stuff. And at that point, he elevated our audio, and he elevated our production significantly.
First of all, you act like I wasn't there and audio with you. How dare you?
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, I forgot.
How? Yes.
I'm sorry. I forgot. Okay, good.
And well, then when she's like, we've got a producer. Producer. And that's when I opened my eyes really wide and stars showed up. I'm like, I'd never have to do this again.
No, I mean, seriously, it's a lot of hard work.
I started out as the bearskin rug.
Talking
Pat
bearskin.
On the bearskin
the talking
rug?
Bearskin rug. Not on. I was
oh,
the bearskin
yeah.
rug.
That's right.
Because Jacob was the straight boy on the floor. So I couldn't be on the floor.
Couldn't
afford a lot of
above
seats.
You. Oh, girl.
Couldn't afford a lot of chairs back then.
I have a question. When you became the actual producer who could say things, did you feel like Annie and your Brian was your daddy Warbucks?
Wow.
Sure.
I was
we'll
gonna,
go with that.
I was going to say, did you feel like Yoko Ono? Like.
Well,
that's a little too real in a personal respect, not in a professional way.
Hey, the band
way.
Is still wow. together,
first
so
of all, that's
we're good.
Rude.
A successful Yoko Ono.
So
rude? Also very rude. I was thinking about Bjork. Never mind. Apt? Very apt.
I will say this. We just saw Isle of Dogs like 2 weeks ago, and I did appreciate the Yoko Ono cameo in that movie.
Oh, God, I forgot
yep.
about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Her name was Yoko Ono.
Good Lord.
In the movie.
Now, yep. now I have Bare Naked Ladies stuck in my head. You can be my Yoko Ono. That's one of the songs off their first CD.
She is amazing.
That's all that I ask is to be somebody's Yoko Ono.
Amuse? God, I'd like to be amused instead of somebody who could probably be blackmailed because they did tasteful and artistic videos in the early 2000s.
I hear music. All I think about is Xanadu the Musical.
Nothing.
And I was just in LA, and it was in my head, and I had to listen to it while I was out there.
Which we should all do an outing to a local theater troupe because they're doing this summer Xanadu.
That's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. It starts in mid-July.
Yes.
Mid-July. Yes.
I know this for reasons that I'm not going to talk about on the podcast.
I will say, well, I know mm-hmm. this. I keep forgetting about it, but my best friend is my best friend for a reason and saw that it was going to be there and is buying tickets.
Aww.
And I am so excited. I've never seen the show from the audience. I have seen the show four times when it was in New York on Broadway or off Broadway, and one time here in Orlando. Every single time I was on the stage because they have stage seating for the show. I don't know if Theater Winter Haven's going to do it.
Oh, it's really small. It's gorgeous. They do an amazing job. Yes. I've seen multiple shows there.
Oh, it's at the Theater Winter Haven?
Yeah.
Winter Garden.
Winter Garden. I was going to say.
Winter Garden Theater.
Yeah, I remember seeing Sweeney Todd there.
Yes.
It was really well done.
Yeah. I've seen that was good.
Hairspray. There we saw Shrek.
Winter Haven.
No, that was Winter Haven.
That was Winter Haven where
we
saw Shrek.
Hairspray and Lacage there. I've seen Miracle on 34th Street. I've seen a lot of shows there. And they do a really great job. I saw Hairspray there. They're a company that really cares about putting out theater because a lot of people in Central Florida. And by Central Florida, I mean not Orlando, but like the outskirts of Orlando, they don't always make it into quote unquote the big city. Because you can live in Florida like 50 miles from Orlando and never go to Orlando.
Absolutely. Yep.
So like I am all about the Winter Garden Theater. I want to go with you. And then I will just point that one right there.
Nice. Well,
we can do an outing for Xanadu. I'm totally in. Like, I will go multiple times. I will sing along.
So excited.
If only there were a book, a magic book, that listed all the members and all the businesses in Los Angeles and had their phone numbers next to it. Yeah.
With pages the color of amber. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, seriously. So, from Flame On to Xanadu, and that's it. So now we're here. So, we're going to do pop culture. We're going to talk about
the
movies.
Oh, shit. I thought we were talking about Starlight Express this entire time. Never mind. I let it go.
Admittedly, that's common. Common misunderstanding. So, there have been movies, there have been TV shows, there have been comic books, there has been music. I don't know. There's been a lot of stuff that we've all experienced. I've started to pick up an accent. I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where those twangs come from.
It's born accent syndrome.
Probably your low breeding.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So,
where else would you breed?
Ru-ka-ka-ka.
How dare you?
Before we jump in, though, I do have a letter from one of our listeners that I am very happy to share. No, that Aww. Bitch did not send us dick. No, he's always very nice, but he missed this one. So, Rodolfo is a listener we met in Dallas.
Dallas at TBRU.
Like yep.
2 years ago? 3 years ago?
It was, I think,
one
the first time. It was the three years ago. And has been a longtime listener, not first-time emailer, but certainly he hasn't... He owes us more than most listeners, but he says, "Howdy, boys. Congratulations on reaching your 200th episode. I know I'm early." He sent this back in April. He's very prepared. "I've been listening to your show since nearly the beginning, and when an episode appears on my gizmo, it brightens up my day." Evidently, he uses a gizmo for his
Mogwai's?
Podcast. I was like,
I was using a Mogwai? Say,
don't know.
Don't
didn't.
Get it wet.
Nowadays, when I read a comic, watch a movie, or see some drag, I inevitably end up wondering what your take on it might be. Here's to another 200 episodes. All the best, Rodolfo in Dallas. So thank you, Rodolfo. We really appreciate it. That's what we got.
Thank you, Rodolfo.
It was lovely.
Yeah,
the
was so sweet.
Worst publicist ever. First of all, don't even like edit this. Out of all of the listener letters, you know, we don't have time for all of them. But we chose this one who's been with us since the beginning. Hey, Rodolfo, out in Dallas, here's your letter.
Here's a long distance dedication.
I appreciate it from Rodolfo in Dallas. Appreciate it. I love it, but yeah.
Now, we have great listeners, and we have a lot of people, especially in the area, that listen to us. I will say this. They are very quiet. It's like they just kind of sit there, and they listen, and they enjoy it.
Lurkers.
But we don't get a lot of comments and emails and whatnot. I posted, and we did have we had a few of our listeners reach out and congratulate us. Mm. And I mean, we're not going to sit here and just, you know, read, you know, pat ourselves on the back comments.
Eric Peltz, Joshua Mason. Those are the people that I'm.
Zach.
Hey, Zach.
Because every time I see him out, he was asking when I got back from DryCon if we were going to do an episode. Hint, hint, we will be doing that. Mm-hmm. And he was excited to hear us talk about DryCon, and I told him we might make some punch and have fun that episode.
Oh, boy.
We are going to cut up and kiki.
Not Kai Kai.
Not Kai Kai. Kiki. Look, I can't. Let's be real. Eventually, when I become a drag queen, which has been years in the making, and I swear,
it's never gonna happen.
It's never gonna happen.
It will happen this year. Mm-hmm. It will happen this year.
It'll be what Brian before
look,
you.
This is what I'm gonna do.
Probably.
I'm gonna make it super, super special. Right. I shave my beard.
What?
Which is the only thing that stops me from being a prepubescent 13-year-old. And I'm gonna show up on multiple drag queens' doorsteps, and by multiple, I only mean two. Because I have two moms. I know my drag queen persona has two moms. I won't name them because, you know, they're very busy, and I don't want to put that on them. Chad or Rob.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't want to put that on them. So if you could relay that to Devon and Chantel. I won't put that on them, but I'm going to have two moms, and I'm going to be the fiercest drag queen Orlando has ever seen. And when I make it onto RuPaul's Drag Race season 15, I want you to know the hometown girl came to slay. And then I death drop in a dramatic fashion.
You don't do the faux death drop, and then you went, nope, not yet.
No.
The real death drop.
I do the walk up to the guillotine and decide to snap my own neck.
Nice. Love it. All right.
I am excited for that.
I did leave out one thing. I mentioned everybody and how they got involved except BJ.
That's fine. You found me on the side of the road.
Basically.
Gutter baby.
Thank you for that.
Come gutter baby.
No, he pretty much, he was like, hey, you post really good stuff. Post it on the Facebook page. I post some stuff on the Facebook page.
That's right.
And then he messaged me one day and he's like, we need somebody just to sit in front of the microphone.
Just to sit there.
So I was right. Come get our baby.
And it wasn't even a full. I don't think it was a full cast.
May have been a micro. Or
I think it was a micro. And then you needed extra people for the full cast because there was that one dude that like we've never seen again.
Who, Jared?
No. It's
Adam.
Yeah.
That brief moment when Adam was on the show.
That's right. That's where we were trying out new hosts.
Was it like two? It was two. He was here for two.
Yeah.
I showed up because I heard not on once but two occasions said. Harpo, who this woman?
I remember doing the Harry Potter episode with him.
With Adam?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oral.
I remember that. I don't remember his face, but let's be real. Sometimes I meet gentlemen very briefly. And...
Dude, he's like 6'5". You can't
yeah, it's hard
him.
To forget Adams.
He's kind of like Aquaman.
Yeah.
Was he that tall?
He's tall. Yes.
Oh, my God. I just had a flashback.
Is that tall? He's broad.
Well, it was hilarious, too, because then I just kept showing up, and then Pat pulled me aside one day. He's like, you do know you are a cast member, right? And I was like, well, am I? Oh, aw, thank you.
Wait, do you have a headshot yet?
I do.
Oh, okay. Then,
I do now.
All right, fine. Eric doesn't.
I thought you meant that Adam.
They didn't lock me in.
Oh, no. I didn't realize you were talking about that Adam.
Oh, no.
I was talking about that
McCurcher.
Adam.
McCurcher.
Yeah. Oh, kitty meow.
Yeah.
No, not that one.
Serving up kitty, muscle kitty realness.
Dear Lord. Every time I see that, it just makes me laugh. Because I'm just imagining him with little ears on, crawling to the end of a table and just knocking a glass off.
All I'm hearing is what's her name from Fooly Cooly just going, kitty kitty meow.
Nice.
Yeah. You know,
so,
Fuck that show.
The new season
starts.
Two new seasons are happening.
When? Is it soon?
Soon. Yeah.
All right.
You know who doesn't care? Me. And let's be real. As the entertainment. Entertainment.
The star.
Taint.
Of this show.
Oh, are you the Miss Piggy of our Muppet Show?
Yes.
Aww. Totally.
First of all, can we talk about how I have made this joke on multiple occasions in the feed and nobody believes me? I am not joking. I never wanted to call it Drag is the New Spandex. I wanted to call it All Queens and Me.
You did.
Which is apt and timeless. Apt and timeless. Mm-hmm. But here we are. Drag is the New Spandex. Who even watched Orange is the New Black's last season? Nobody. You know who would have listened to all of Dragons? I'm sorry, All Queens and Me? Me. Me.
Do you realize I didn't name it after that, right?
Huh?
I actually named it after Porn is the New Black, which is a dumb song sung in a porno that I watched like 10 years ago.
What?
Yeah. Now, it did happen to come out around the same time that Orange is the New Black originated, but it is an older reference.
Remind me to tell you about the, how can I put this without not betraying myself? Well, fuck it. It's, you know, anniversary 200 episodes.
Uh-huh.
There is a certain website that you can frequent where if you change a few of the words in our title, you'll find one of the greatest videos that you should just listen to. I'm sorry, profiles. Where you just listen to the volume off. Except for some episodes, there's just, it's not important.
I need to know more about this later.
Some of you in the know already know what I'm talking about. This is for you. Happy 200th anniversary.
We have a mystery for our new listeners.
Yes, it's like a real mystery in the world.
Girl, don't rat me out. You know there's a brotherhood.
You have to go back and listen to old episodes to piece it together.
Girl, don't do it to me.
I'm like, new listeners, it's a mystery for me. I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I don't either.
I often lie to people and tell them like I'm talking shit about them on the podcast just to trick them into listening to
that's
an episode.
That's the best way. So let's talk shit about people then. So that's all the, do we have anything else on this? Like,
Brian,
masturbatory
why did you write the question and then show it to me just now? That's rude. He's doing really well in LA and we're super proud of him.
I absolutely
he gets to see
am.
And do things that we've never seen and done before personally.
I am very proud of Josh.
We are.
Senpai.
He is the success story.
That's right. And I knew it all along.
And then never came back to the neighborhood.
Yeah, well.
I mean, even Babyface came back to, no, it was Brian McKnight. Never mind.
Well, even Eric came back, like, briefly for a visit.
Actually, I think he was here for our 100th episode when we...
Yeah, there was, like, 16 people here for the 100th
yeah,
episode.
It was a busy, busy celebration.
Guest stars.
Maybe nobody got time for that. All right, so let's move on. Let's talk movies. There has been at least one very important comic book movie.
Very important is really kind of putting,
that is stretching
putting
it
a stress on it that doesn't belong.
I think a lot of people, Deadpool is, to them, like, the one character that they really enjoy.
They
more
also
than the
love
others.
Doing beer bongs.
I'm not judging.
An
I'm,
elephant walk in their fraternity.
Listen, we've all been there. Well, some of us have been there.
Those are the best parts. I mean, I hit it, so.
All right, so I didn't see Deadpool 2, Electric Boogaloo. So those of you who have, what did you think?
I took a nap during part of it.
I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't great. I didn't leave feeling excited the way I did after the first one, but it was still solid. They didn't screw up Cable. Like
they didn't?
No.
They did I'll give them that. Cable, I mean, without giving Cable his backstory.
Which they're not going to do.
No, of course not.
They didn't do right away in the comics anyway.
Oh, no, exactly. They did a good job with him, and they gave him TK powers. So
really?
I was happy
yes.
about
yes,
that.
Yes, they did.
Yes, oh. He had telekinesis. I was actually very happy about that.
All right.
But I feel like it suffered from Guardians of the Galaxy syndrome. Where
Volume 2?
Well, both Guardians 1, Volume 1, and Deadpool, when they came out, not that Deadpool wasn't a well-known property, but it wasn't something that really had this huge fan base with the comic book movies.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Guardians. Guardians was an even lesser known property that they're going, let's roll the dice and see what happens. And it was jam-packed fun and action, and it was a hit, as was Deadpool. Nobody really expected that version of Deadpool that was that gory and that graphic and all of that to be such a good movie.
Yep.
And then the sequels come out. And they take that formula, and they're like, you know what? Let's turn this up to 11, because that's what's going to make it really good. And it was an okay movie, it just felt like it was trying way too hard.
And for me, it felt like it was specifically with Deadpool, the character himself. Like, it felt like it was trying really hard with Deadpool. The side characters are pretty much what kept me engrossed in
was,
the movie.
Or was not Shatterstar
shattered?
Ridiculous.
Into a million pieces?
All of those characters. Like, honestly, that was the one part of the movie that I was like, the fuck?
I woke up from my nap to a wood chipper.
Yep.
I was like, oh. All right, so
there was a
we'll spoil this just a little bit. So if you haven't seen Deadpool and you don't want to be spoiled by anything, then skip ahead like a minute and a half. If not, then keep listening.
Yeah, so they formed X-Force and then by X-Force.
Probably killed like, it was four, including the regular dude.
Well, it was everybody except Deadpool and Domino.
Yep.
Oh, that's a shame.
Although Zazie Beetz Domino fucking nearly stole the show for me, because I fucking loved her as Domino.
She was, but she's the most powerful mutant ever.
Technically, yes.
Yes.
A friend told me, it's like, have you seen it yet? No, you know, girl, I'll see it this weekend. If I have time, I never have time. And he goes, do you want me to tell you? I'm like, girl, the only reason why you would say that to me is because I'm there for how dreamy Shatterstar is. And if you tell me, girl, doesn't even land, doesn't even make it, I'm just like, all right.
So they
I'm good.
They jump out of the plane, and everybody except for Deadpool and Domino are promptly killed in ridiculous fashion, where the one that has the acid breath.
Zeitgeist.
Ends up in a wood chipper. And then Dave?
Peter.
Vomits on Peter.
I love Peter. Aww.
Peter goes to, like, console him, and then Zeitgeist spits up acid, which is his mutant power, and kills him. And what happened to Shatterstar?
He fell helicopter. Into a helicopter blade.
Yep.
And then Vanisher ran into some power lines and got electrocuted, where you see the split-second Brad Pitt cameo.
Yep.
Brad Pitt
was
played,
it Brad Pitt?
It
Brad
was.
Pitt was, play, yep, was yep. playing Vanisher.
Y'all can kiss my ass. I never need to see
and,
this movie.
What's his name? Terry Crews' character like gets hit by a bus.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Yep.
So they don't spend a lot of time with these characters.
They do not.
Okay. They pretty much just bring him in to kill him.
Nice. Yep. All right. Well, hey.
Makes you think they're putting it together. And then
it
like,
is a Deadpool movie that is kind of the shtick.
Rum.
But it kills me because if you're going to be making an X-Force movie, and until any deal is done and finalized, you've got to figure that all of these things are still going to be in production. If you're going to make an X-Force movie, why do you throw away like this big thing with Deadpool to then do a movie that's just going to be like, all right, well, I guess these people aren't going to be thrown into helicopter blades or wood chippers. Like, it lost some of that impact. And if you're in the same universe, you've now lost Shatterstar.
Yeah.
The other ones I don't care about. They were all part of X-Force in second and third iterations that don't really mean anything. Give me Boom Boom, give me Richter, give me Shatterstar. That main cast that went from the New Mutants into X-Force.
X-Force. Well, X-Force, but later X-Factor.
Because
I'm only here for Shatterstar and Richter.
When did Shatterstar was in X-Factor?
Yeah, like Peter David's years later, more recently.
Yep.
Huh.
Like 10 years, for 10 years, 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's going to be like 5 years ago, but yeah. But
was that more on the Madrox?
Yep.
Yeah, totally. The Madrox.
Totally.
Oh, okay.
And I did like how they mentioned Mojo World for a quick second.
Whoa. I was impressed that they did.
I was like, the fuck?
Interesting.
Yeah, because Shatterstar says he's from Mojo World. I was like, all right.
Cool. His blood was green.
I just want a good long shot at some point. That'd be nice.
That would be fun.
Wouldn't we all?
they put his fingers in the middle together.
And a weekend where you can get all of that and more.
Oh.
We're missing it now.
Is it Pig Week?
Listeners, if you want to help BJ and I go to IML next year. You can donate to patreon.com/nerdyshow and earmark those dollars for Flame On.
Put a little note.
We're listener supported.
Put a little note. This is for Oral and BJ to go to IML.
I'm down.
Or sooner, you could sponsor Pat and I's trip to P-Town coming up for Bear Week.
Yes. The dick dock is not going to suck itself. So,
Eric, you going to let him talk to you like that?
So, who wants to be queen of the dick dock for sure?
I do. Okay. Because Dandy Darkly does a free show under the dick dock at like 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. And he does like a little mini pageant. And bitch, I want that sash.
Lord.
My name is Oral. I deserve that sash. It apparently is my birthright.
But my name's BJ.
Welcome to Bear Week.
Ooh.
Are we rivals?
I love it.
Two men enter. One man leaves.
Honestly, we don't need another. Where are you going to run to?
The first one, the gag, leaves.
First of all, that won't be me. That's never been me.
I'm going to be.
Have fun choking to death, ho.
So funny, I don't have a gag reflex because I watched an episode of The Muppet Babies where Kermit the Frog brushes his tongue, and I started doing that for about 5 years of my life.
One day someone will love me. One day somebody will love me.
I brush my tongue every day. I still have a gag reflex.
Oh.
Yo también.
All right.
Well, that was an interesting side journey.
Next movie.
So, well, the other movies are just trailers because Solo comes out this coming weekend, and we're excited about that.
I'm seeing
it'll drop right before this drops.
Oh, that's right. So we'll get back to you on that. And then Happy Fun Time Murders, which is it the Brian Henson with Melissa McCarthy?
Yes.
So this is a really weird thing that I never thought I would see.
Have you never seen Meet the Feebles?
No, I have.
Have you never seen, what's that movie with the food?
So that's
Sausage
not
party.
What I'm saying. Brian Henson, Jim Henson's son, using actual Muppets, although not like the kid-friendly ones.
Not the characters.
Is making a hard R murder mystery sex comedy something.
Oh, it's a hard R.
The trailer alone is a hard R, and I'm excited because I love the Muppets. And Jim Henson never intended the Muppets to be only a kid's thing. He really didn't. It was meant to be all ages or different, you know, eras or whatever.
And
so
genres.
I'm excited, but was surprised.
But there's a good way to do puppets or Muppets with R rating. And you can do something fun and joyful like Avenue Q. Or you can do something devoid of joy like Happy Time Murders.
Well, I would say it's devoid of joy.
Is a hard R.
Yeah,
Avenue
Q is pretty dark at certain moments, too. It's not all fun and games.
But like Happy Fun Time Murders, though, there are moments in the trailer where I feel like I'm watching The Muppet Show. Like the two prostitutes.
Absolutely.
The two prostitutes standing up there and be like, hey, buddy, we give you a good time. She's like, I'm a woman. That's okay. That's better, actually. It's just like the comedic moments are absolutely great.
I'm very excited that they made this, but I was shocked when they announced it.
But the whole cum shot at the end gag.
I'm sorry.
I'm like, I saw that in the first Scary Movie way back in the day.
Yeah.
It was hotter.
But I also love that Maya Rudolph's in it. Maya Rudolph plays the receptionist.
I feel like it's going to be a lot of like cameos in this movie.
Yeah.
It reminds me of if Trey Parker and Matt Stone worked with the Muppets to make a Muppet movie.
Everyone thinks that Jim Henson was this like adorably sweet guy. He had a really
He's raunchy
dark,
as hell. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sense of humor.
Yeah,
yeah. Super raunchy.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is, you know, animators and puppeteers, the freakiest people.
Seriously.
And having slept with both of them, I really guarantee it and recommend it.
Oh,
you slept with Jim Henson?
I did not.
You slept with Andrew?
Andrew what?
He's an adorable little old man.
You
who goes to karaoke at the Baritone and sometimes and
just
he was
retired.
A marionette guy.
Yeah,
who just retired.
I have never seen him do any marionette.
He is super sweet.
He just gave away his business. He retired, or not gave away, but he
donated,
passed it on.
So those movies are coming up, and we will see them when they come out. TV is also kind of winding down, but also starting back up because it's a nonstop cycle of entertainment.
It is pure chaos right now, though.
I miss the 90s where it was like the shows stop in the summer.
Shasta McNasty? That's a callback to literally, what, 24 hours? Less than that?
Not even, yeah.
17 hours ago.
So there have been two shows that I think at least a couple of us really enjoy. I enjoy The Expanse, and that was on the chopping block. In fact, it was canceled.
I haven't seen this season.
I haven't either, which is probably why it was canceled. But Amazon has announced they're going to pick the series up, thank God. Yep. Because there's so many books left they have not even gotten to that I want them to finish.
I hear this last book is terrible.
Well, maybe they'll skip that. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was...
Who the fuck cares?
I do.
I heard it's funny.
White people and then brown people who are coconuts listen to that and watch that.
Like,
I'm looking at you, MD. Looking at you.
So that got picked up by NBC, yep. Which is great.
Within like 2 days of the announcement. Well, I think it's ridiculous.
I think
fast.
It's produced by NBC Studios, so it wasn't a huge surprise, but it was still...
You know what I love? People up in arms. Up in arms. About Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But this administration, everyone's like, oh, you know, it's par for the course. Or, yeah, this is terrible. They canceled Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Right in the streets! Yeah.
Well, there's a couple of memes about that where it's like, cancel a TV show. It's good, like, it's a SpongeBob SquarePants meme. And all the fish are all around the booth. And it's like, Trump gets elected. Eh.
I've never personally watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I hear it's fantastic and funny. Whatever, but I was more upset not at the cancellation, at the fact that Fox was instead reinvigorating Last Man Standing.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Gross. They picked that up?
Yes. Yep.
Oh.
I should tell you about every Fox show that exists on television now, and I will use my karaoke host, or KJ, if you know us, experience to explain it. I don't care. Nice. I'm not okay now. You wear me out every night. I'm not okay. Every night, multiple times a night. Which is not a dig at any of my specific regulars. You know who you are, and I love you, and I would have sex with you if I thought you were a homosexual.
Or at least homoflexible.
Even if I thought you weren't a homosexual.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the CW comics series.
All the CW,
oh,
DC
all of the,
stuff.
All of the Berlantiverse. Okay.
Yeah.
And then The Good Place were all renewed. Thank God.
Thank God for The Good Place, which is the only show that you mentioned that I watched.
Listen. We'll talk about some of those in a second, but I was surprised that some of them were renewed.
Gotham was also renewed.
Oh, Jesus.
For its last season.
Gross.
Oh, thank God.
It's gross.
It is a mess. It is a glorious mess.
I got a hate watch
second,
it.
I thought it was getting better, and I was like, you know what? I'm actually not minding this.
That's how it happens every
time.
And
it was like, they were doing all the villains and all this, and then it just,
It just devolves. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, BD Wong's Hugo Strange, this is going to be interesting. And then it's not. It's so bad. It's like they trick you.
And they wrote the end of the season could have been the end of the show. But there's been talk that, like, the showrunner was like, if we get a fifth season, it'll be like a soft reboot of the series. I'm like, why? What are you going to do in that? What the fuck are you going to do?
Exactly.
My question is this. Is Jerome naked?
No.
My two questions are this. Is Jerome naked?
Still no.
No.
God damn it. Also, does Poison Ivy have the Little Shop of Horror, like, pitcher plants? Yeah.
No.
All of this.
No, because the last time she was on was like 6 episodes ago, and she had this like crazy serum that Wayne Industries had made, and it created like these killer plants that she would then blow the seeds into, and then it would grow a plant inside of the person's body and kill them. And then they stopped that, and then she disappeared for the last like 6 or 8 episodes of the season.
Some bitch.
Yep.
After the second time, they replaced her character and aged her up
Second time.
Because they aged her up to be more in line with Selena and Bruce. Because when they brought her on, she was younger.
Yep.
Visibly younger than the two of them. So, like, we're going to get a new character, a new actress, and we're going to age her up. But they aged her up to, like, look 5 years older than the two of them.
Yeah. Oh.
And then, after a couple episodes, I think right before the winter break, she broke into some, like, Chinese, like, herbal shop. And this guy had all these, like, serums and potions. And then she drank them all. And then when they came back, she was another actress who was, like, 10 years older than everybody.
Herbal shop.
Now she's a contemporary for, like, Barbara and
oh, is that bitch
Tigress.
Is Barbara
Gordon
still around?
Rachel Ghul. Rachel Ghul is like 4,000 years old. Yeah, Barbara's still around. She was dead, and then Rachel Ghul brought her back.
Everybody brings people
the
back.
The role of Poison Ivy will now be played by Claire Danes.
Pretty soon, that's
Jerome
where it's
has
go.
A twin brother. It's
because of course. So yeah, Gotham's a hot mess.
Well, because they wanted to do like comics, like face torn off, big scarred smile with Jerome. And then they had Jeremiah, who is his identical twin brother, and he got to be a hybrid of Cesar Romero and Jack Nicholson. Like, honestly, he felt very Cesar Romero to me.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted him to actually, like, dance around and laugh more.
You know what the thing is, though? I sleep with both of them.
At the same time.
Cesar Romero and Jack Nicholson?
I thought about my status in life. And the answer is... yes.
Cesar Romero would have enjoyed that, I think. He's a kinky guy.
And then S.H.I.E.L.D., just real quick, ended their
season. I like how we're talking
season.
About shows I don't give a damn about.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We're talking about them. You just sit over there.
Like, it ended.
And the episode was called The End.
They could have gone out on it.
Because it was meant to, like, they weren't sure. And they were like, we're just going to do this.
Yep.
And I can see them. I could see how they can soft reboot, because now you have this, like, new ragtag team that's, you know, these characters who we had never really talked to before were in the season, like,
inexplicably,
hey, we've been
still
around.
There, yeah.
Yep.
Good old red shirts. But no, it was a good episode. I actually enjoyed the arc overall, and it surprised the shit out of me.
Yeah.
But in a way that is still, like, they can bring people back if they want. They could bring Coulson back, really. Not
they could.
Without too much of a challenge.
But it was just funny, because it was like... It got to the end, and I was like, oh, my God, I feel emotionally impacted.
Oh, my God, I was crying. I was like, this is a lot.
The last two seasons have been, they're like, gut punches in a couple of episodes.
So did they tie into Infinity War?
Not
they
really.
Sidestepped it completely. They did reference it, but very much without
nobody
dealing.
Nobody got dusted?
Nope.
it apparently happened in the 15 minutes between, like, the Wakanda invasion and Thanos snapping his fingers.
Yeah. It was very,
it was a very short time frame. Very,
So in that time frame that Samuel L. Jackson and,
basically,
apparently,
and Robin.
But that was really quick. Whereas this was took like episodes. It was okay overall as an ending. It would have been great as an ending for the series, but this season was not as good as the last season. I thought, but
I was confused at first because we kill one character.
Yep,
and then. Which I didn't see coming at all.
No, that was the shocker.
Holy fuck.
No. Yeah.
And then they're doing this other scene, and the way they're talking, and then they talk about the plaque and the name on the plaque.
Meant to
and
be.
I was like, holy shit, is this a dream? Like, did he not make it?
No, it was
Are
meant
we back in the framework?
It was really a nice feint. Like, I was impressed with the way they pulled it off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yep.
When red shirt number two, the guy that was flying the plane, was putting the plaque up,
he
saw Philip J. Coulson, I was like, what the fuck?
He dragged Coulson down. I mean, he had a lot of screen time in this episode.
He was one that didn't get killed in the hallway with Deke.
Oh.
That's who that guy is.
So that is my only question, is what the fuck happened to Deke?
Yep.
It's ambiguous.
What would have been nice is if Deke had shown up hadn't blinked out. Because now it looks like they're... Because I was like, okay, well then this other character isn't dead. He's alive and Coulson's dead. And then...
The whole thing is confusing.
And then they're like... We're going to go get him. And I was like, oh, there's the callback to when he put himself into suspended animation.
There we go. Yep.
Which I thought has happened later than where they are currently, but I guess not. But I guess not.
But it had to have, because nobody was in the lighthouse. But still, because...
I don't think he went to the lighthouse to get frozen.
No, he didn't. They went to the lighthouse.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, the... The watcher android guy, whatever his name was. I can't remember his name.
The Chrom-
blue guy.
Chronicon?
Arnak or something Ack.
We'll just call him Ed.
Ack.
But he brought him there, and then they put him in suspended animation, like put him in the wall. And then it was like, whatever, or like shot him into space, whatever the case was. But I guess because he was part of that time, I don't know.
Yeah. It was a little confusing. Yeah. Timey-wimey. Yeah. Timey-wimey, time is fluid, nothing's
fixed.
Well,
and then when Gemma said, you know, he'll be happy to know that time isn't fixed and it's fluid, and I was like, oh, okay, I get it. And that's why she's not, you know, like crying herself to sleep.
Right.
I wanted her to be pregnant. Well, that's, I wanted Deke to still be around and for her to find out she was pregnant.
Yeah, they could still
be
do
able
that.
To, like,
yeah.
That's how he's still there.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then she drank her scotch, and I was like,
yeah.
Fetal alcohol poisoning.
Oh.
No wonder Deke is such a mess.
Oh.
That would explain a lot. So it's over, and they're not bringing it back until, like, next summer.
Yep.
Probably to skip over the Infinity War Avengers 4 resolution.
Yeah, that's kind of the,
yeah, that's what I believe.
And Coulson is in Captain Marvel, so that he'll be back even sooner, but his past self. So anyway,
with some CGI de-aging.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are gonna have to de-age.
And so one last TV show to bring up real quick.
Yep.
Because I know Ron will appreciate us talking about this. We had another batch of Steven Universe episodes.
Son of a bitch. Fucked me up so hard.
Well.
Fucked me up so hard. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that whole goddamn series now.
So there were a couple of episodes that aired week after week. There were, like, I think, four episodes that came out every Monday. And it was, you know, it was just kind of your setup. And then they had a half hour special.
It was a half hour, yeah.
So it was two episodes back to back. Where the first episode was whatever, he ended up finding Lapis. And,
oh yeah, chatting with Lapis.
You know, and
emotionally
was,
broken person. Like,
I was like, this is kind of a waste of an episode. But then at the end, you have a bit of a reveal, and there's a bit of a foreshadowing with Pearl and Pink Diamond and all of that, and then we get a single pale rose. And it's this, 11 minutes that changed.
This episode
everything.
Fucked me up more than one. In the episode where we find out what Lion is. And then Lars. Like, that episode fucked me up pretty hard. But this episode has just completely destroyed my fucking...
When, like, Lars died and Steven's tears brought him back and he was pink with that hair.
Yep.
I was sitting here with Brian Lukacs. I was like, oh my God. And he's like, what? And I'm like, Lion's dead.
Yep.
What?
He's a revenant.
Lion's dead.
Lion's dead? How did Lion die?
He's always been dead. And
the
then
whole time we do.
So
the healing tears brought him back, and that's why he's pink with that mane that Steven go in, because Lars died on Homeworld, and Steven's tears brought him back to life, and he's that pink skin with that hair that Steven can go into the dimension.
Organic creatures that have been gravely injured that are brought back with Rose's tears. I did Rose's in air quotes. Rose's tears reanimates them.
And by gravely injured, he means dead.
That's how she sounds. Like, that's a joke. Don't ever listen to this.
I was like, which version are you doing? Are you doing the Cranberries or the Bad Wolves?
I hear both. Both. Every night. Every night.
At least I got a better version of the Bad Wolves one. Because that first one I had was horrible.
Oh, God. I think I have the first version.
No, you should have the other one unless you're not keeping your library up to date. But anyway.
I am keeping my library. How dare you?
So anyway, single
pale rose.
You're lying.
I never look so thin.
Well... Whale.
So
a single pale rose.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Steven does the inception, like pearl into pearl into pearl into pearl's pearl.
Yep.
And
Pearlception.
Pearlception. That's a good.
And we find out that rose quartz doesn't actually exist.
Well, that rose quartz doesn't
exist. Well, the rose quartz that we know was the hero of the crystal gems. She changed her appearance, and she's actually Pink Diamond.
Yep.
So, can someone explain to me, is Pink Diamond a terrible person? I need somebody to explain this to me.
We've always been led to believe that she was. That all the diamonds were horrible people.
Well, they're most all the gems in general.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Borg-like race that just assimilates planets till they're torn apart. That's kind of what gems do.
Well, because they mine them and they make new gems out of the resources on the planet, and it eventually just leaves them dead. So we were led to believe that Pink was... We knew Earth was her only colony, and we were always led to believe that she was this, you know...
She was bad.
Evil, evil creature.
But then when you see flashbacks, which you notice, you never see flashbacks with any of the other gems involving Pink Diamond. You always see them with Rose Quartz. And there were a group of gems called the Crystal Gems that wanted to leave Earth alone. So Pink Diamond, we get flashbacks with Pink Diamond interacting with the other diamonds, and they're like, whatever, yeah, sure, you can have a colony. Like, they don't listen to her. They don't really care about her. So...
Or at least that's what she thinks.
That's how she thought. And she thought her being shattered would get the other diamonds to leave the Earth alone. Which she was wrong.
Oh, no.
So... And I wonder if this self-awareness is going to do to Steven.
Well... Yes, and the funny part was, so we go through that whole thing with the pearl and the pearl and the pearl's pearl, and he finds out the truth, he pops out a pearl, and then instantly, after, Pearl has kept this secret for how long?
Well, and she can't say it.
Well, yeah, she was bound to silence, but so she's kept the secret from the other crystal gems that survived, and Steven pops out. And instantly says it, and both Garnet and Amethyst are like, yeah, shooketh. Yeah. Is it even the word?
Well, and the new episodes start in June, and Garnet splits up over it immediately. Like, nope.
Wow.
So it's, yeah. I hope we're done. I hope we're done with those random gut blow episodes.
Oh, of course not. Now we Jesus. Got, now it's the fallout.
Yeah, because what happens when Yellow and Blue learn about...
Ooh. There were questions that were randomly posed in a couple of episodes in one of the Steven bombs. The last question, what happens to Steven when the gem is removed? Will he turn normal human, or is he going to go poof? But if he goes poof, it's Pink that comes back, not him.
Maybe.
Because you know the diamonds are going to be like, well, we'll just pull the gem out.
It's amazing that the diamonds don't sense another diamond.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Steven was around Blue and Yellow, and he still didn't. Oh. It's crazy.
Yeah.
June will hopefully have some answers. It's not TV, sorry.
I've got big questions.
I don't know nothing about birthing no babies, Miss Scarlet.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I'm glad you guys are into it, and I'm glad that we can talk about it, because everyone was, like, blowing up Facebook about, oh, my God, did you see it?
Fuck me up.
And in the style of TV universe, there's...
No, so let's not do that. Uh-huh. There is a new Thundercats show. It is called Thundercats Roar.
You know what it's called? It's called Y'all Had Your Chances, and now you're stuck with this. Have fun, host.
So
I love 2011.
I did watch the trailer that everyone's sort of reacting to. It is not my Thundercats, but I will say Cap from Nerdy Show actually
that
gave me
sounds
this
racist.
Perspective.
It's cute.
Hashtag not my whatever.
Well, and all the lore is still there.
Yeah, so this is just meant to be like the best comparison is Teen Titans Go to the original Teen Titans animated show.
Yeah.
But like, it's not my thing. It's not my favorite style of animation. I think it's ridiculous. But if it keeps interest in Thundercats in the general sense, if it builds on the mythology in some way that's meaningful, if it has fun, then, I mean, I don't care. Whatever.
Well, let's put it this way. You're a 40-something-year-old man. I'm in the second half of my 30s-year-old man. That cartoon we grew up on was ours.
Yeah.
And now a new generation gets something. Yeah. No, I'm agreeing with you.
No, 100%. I meant to say, I forgot. Cap's point wasn't that. It was... what was it? Oh, the original Thundercats, as much as we love them, aren't that great. If you go back and watch it again, he made this point, and I've been thinking about it. In that specific era of other similar cartoons like Silverhawks and I don't know, that the Japanese stuff that inspired all of it, Thundercats was popular, but it really wasn't that great overall. Like, it was kind of a mess, right?
Yeah.
We think back fondly because for us it was the one that we resonated with, but it was not. If you watch it now,
you watch almost any of those cartoons,
but I mean, it's especially
and not.
It's his point was
Captain
it's,
N.
It's worse than you think. Oh, Captain N.
I watched. I started watching back Gem episodes, and fucking wanted to poke my eyes out.
You missed Jizz and the Mammograms at that point. You're like, I want to hear drag queens doing voices for this.
But there are good ways to reboot these. Like Voltron, you look up the 80s cartoon,
yes.
And I cannot watch that series. I loved it. Oh,
no,
my goodness.
Voltron is an improvement, for
it
sure.
It is very yeah. much an improvement, and
yeah.
still speaks to that. It's still... Like, you look at the art style and all that, and it's...
But there is certainly a trend in animation these days to make it a little more ridiculous and less serious, and this is another example of that, so...
Well, yeah, but, like, the Teen Titans Go, you're adding on this extra adjective or this extra, like, descriptor word to differentiate it from just, like, the series proper.
Yeah.
So Teen Titans is your one thing of, you know, nostalgia and history, then Teen Titans Go is ridiculous, and
yeah.
Now we'll have.
I'm not gonna lie, I've watched a couple episodes of Teen Titans Go, and I laughed my ass off. Like,
it may have gotten better, I don't know. But when I watched, I was there, like, "This is not my humor. It's not my thing. It's okay, and it's okay." I'm not being the old man saying, "Oh, they're changing all our stuff." I just don't get that style, and so I like Eric said, I would love to see the Voltron like approach where it's an improvement, it's still funny, it's still relevant, it still speaks to younger audiences, but in a way that is a better commemoration of the show. So
Silverhawks, Centaurian,
right?
Oh, Centaurian,
Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Oh, Jesus.
The Snorks.
Oh,
I have dignity in class, thank you.
Drowned Smurfs.
Gummy Bears.
Oh, yeah, I love the Gummy
you
Bears.
You don't get to say Snorks and Gummy Bears.
We should totally do a group costume for Gummy Bears.
Let's see how She-Ra turns out. Oh,
She-Ra. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's another one. Then that's more like the Voltron approach.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of craziness happening in television. There is a new, not Simpsons, Matt Groening series coming out, Maker of the Simpsons.
Disenchanted.
Netflix series. The animation style is very Simpsons-y, which is his style. I don't know anything else about the production except it reminds me of I Hate Fairyland a little bit.
A little bit.
But you know? Like a poor man's I Hate Fairyland. It's Cool World. Is this cool? I'm making callbacks.
Is Kim Basinger going to pop out?
Oh,
I don't
think she's
the
doing
trailer
much.
Or whatever. It just seems like Futurama.
Yeah,
it's half the cast of Futurama.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Half the cast of Futurama is in the show.
Good.
Peg Bundy back?
No.
Oh.
That is the
Katie Sagal.
I was hoping Katie Sagal would be back.
That would be
Sagal.
Nice.
Once you told me she wasn't there, I don't give a damn.
I think she is involved with the show, but I think she's doing like a side character or something like
well,
that.
Well, maybe they'll do a Futurama crossover at some point.
Possibly.
Well,
and real quick, speaking about Matt Groening, RuPaul will be making a guest appearance on The Simpsons in
the
future.
Now, we aren't going into RuPaul this episode. We will be saving that.
Oh, God, because that's just a lot.
There's
but I got to meet RuPaul.
You have a picture to prove it.
I
even if it looks
RuPaul.
Like it was a cutout of RuPaul.
Oh, it definitely wasn't. There was such a warmth and glow about RuPaul.
And then I sucked that from you like a Sanderson sister.
But that will be coming up probably, what, next episode? Or
I think we'll do it next episode. We're going to have special guest Tora Hyman.
Hi, girl.
Come and join us from Drag Queen Network. Oral and I were on an episode of Teaching with Tora. So we'll get her over. She was there the entire weekend as well in LA, actually a few days earlier and a few days later than I was. And she was working with Swish Embassy at their booth. So it'll be fun to reminisce and have some cocktails and talk about DragCon LA 2018. And they announced the dates for DragCon New York.
3 days.
DragCon NYC 2018 is 3 days as well. They've added the third day onto this one.
Nice.
Just like they did LA this year. And it is September 28th,
29th, 30th. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So
the
it's
weekend before Comic-Con and the Glitter Bomb spiel. Oh my God, so much.
Hey, I'm stoked because that makes it one trip up to New York versus having to do two separate trips. because we go up there for Comic-Con and for our live show at Rock Bar, if we're doing that again this year and all that, so.
Which I'm going to Comic-Con, you stay for the, ooh, girl.
Flip that. We stay, we go for the,
ooh, girl.
And stay for Comic-Con.
And then will you drive down to D.C. for the glitter bomb spiel?
Probably.
Hooray!
The way to do it.
You know, I don't like glitter in my bomb spiel. Like, I just want cheese. I want all the cheeses. Gruyere, camembert, maybe a little cheddar if I'm feeling spicy.
They have glitter beer now. What if they have glitter cheese?
No.
Would that be gross?
No.
I don't know.
All of it, no.
No?
No.
Oh, all right. So that's all TV.
Oh, wait. No, we do have one more TV thing.
Oh, Lord, what?
I watched all of, and this is topical, Lost in Space.
You did? You finished it?
I saw the first 5 episodes.
Daddy Robinson.
Oh, disgusting.
What? The disgusting. Engineer.
Daddy Robinson.
I am obsessed with Lost in Space, and I always have been ever since a little child watching the marathons on Sci-Fi.
Oh,
when
yes.
Sci-Fi just started,
yep.
And it's all they could afford.
Oh,
it is a really great interpretation. They do what Doctor Who does well, the early episodes of Doctor Who, which makes it like family friendly, but it doesn't shy away from like the horrors of life, whereas sometimes people die and only such and such survives. And you know, there are bad people, but there are good people. And sometimes bad people do good things and you have to deal with that. Which leads me to Parker Posey doing high level,
holy crap,
masterclass character work.
Oh,
stuff.
I love Parker Posey.
As Dr. Smith, spoiler, there's a female Dr. Smith. I like the homage of what she's wearing to the old Dr. Smith.
Yep.
And she is scary.
Cutthroat.
It is so good. So good. If you want high production values, but things that are still kind of like make you feel good and then make you worry a lot, Lost in Space.
That first, make you sad.
That first episode is all we've seen, and it was intense.
Thick
there was
robot.
Some
thick
real,
robot.
And
so thick.
Thick robot, yes.
Thick.
I just love that it ended with a literal ex machina.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I was like, uh-oh.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
There it is.
Because, you know, no, I'll leave
but
that.
It's all right.
But it's good. It's very good.
So that's all for television. Let's go on to video games. And I'm not playing it. I haven't played very many games lately. But God of War 4 came out.
Yes.
And I heard something about Kratos got a kid.
Daddy Kratos.
Boy.
Yes. He has a child. Well,
that
first
makes
of all.
Makes me very uncomfortable when you say it.
So very first of all, boy, he is alive. Because if anybody played the third one,
nobody did.
Supposedly, he essentially killed himself in the third one to end the Greek god cycle.
Evidently not.
And you come in on the game at the death of his wife, of his child's mother
in Norseland.
And yeah, they're in Iceland, Greenland, wherever the Norse gods dwell.
Finland,
and. But the whole game is pretty much you set her on fire. You're supposed to take her ashes to the top
like
of the mountain.
Viking burial.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay.
You're
like,
supposed to take, and then on the way there, just insanity ensues. And I've only gotten through the essentially the opening of the game.
So are you fighting the Norse gods in this now?
You encounter them, but you also fight Norse creatures of myth.
Okay,
it's very Norse heavy
but
on everything.
Norse, not Greek.
Kratos can't read anything Celtic, so his son does. And throughout the game, you can actually give his son armor. You can give him enchanted weapons. You yourself have an enchanted axe. The gameplay is vastly different from the old God of War games. You don't have the Blades of Chaos anymore.
Well, you've got to adapt to the climate. And
yeah. You have
Stormbreaker instead.
I was going to say,
do you get
Mjolnir? Because that'd be...
Well, it's Mjolnir as an axe.
Nice. Yarnbjorn.
Yeah. Yarnbjorn. Meow meow.
Yarnbjorn.
Meow meow. So it's good.
It's phenomenal. It's
I'm
actually
sure the production values.
And it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely gorgeous.
Someday I might play those. I don't know. They look pretty, but they look like all cinematic. And when I played the first one, I think I got frustrated that it was like playing Dragon's Lair back in the day. It was like, I'm making a cartoon and a movie here. Look, I'm pushing buttons and things are happening. That's cool, though.
Yeah, it's a lot less like that.
Good.
And then there's new Kingdom Hearts coming out eventually.
It's
someday,
happening.
Maybe.
They did a
probably
press.
Not.
They did a press release, and they actually had reviewers and everything play the Toy Box stage, which is the Toy Story stage, and the.
It's been 84 years.
You poor summer children.
They're playtesting. Their playtesting is happening. It's gonna happen, Oral.
Did they give a date? Exactly.
You bitches.
E3.
And I will say this. You dumb bitches keep thinking this game is coming. You know what came faster than this game? Duke Nukem 2.
Uh-huh.
You keep peddling these lies to these children who listen to us. They depend on us.
It's coming.
They depend on us. And you keep peddling these lies.
I don't care what you say, Miss Nezzik.
The Final Fantasy VII remake is going to come out before this.
I was going to say, there's a whole lot of vaporware that will materialize before this shows up.
The meme's coming because Square Enix apparently is actually giving a panel at E3 this year. And they have said they have four things on the docket. And everybody's just like, that first thing is going to be the Final Fantasy VII remake and no Kingdom Hearts release date.
Kingdom Hearts, we're working on it.
Same team is working on Half-Life 3.
But the playtests make the game looks
Nobody's
fucking gorgeous.
Damn it, you're right. So if you are enjoying this fine mess, then
enjoy
you
us.
Can find out. In fact, Oral did a great plug earlier to send him to IML and
Please.
To help us continue bringing you this fine program. If you go to Patreon.com, if you go to Patreon.com/nerdyshow, you can donate as little as you want, $1 a month, $5, whatever you can afford.
Please,
we appreciate it.
Please, I've been single for 170 of these 200 episodes, and that's a combined. If you could send me to a place where I just, you know, it's rough in Orlando. If you
can
send me to Chicago.
I would just like somebody to knock the dust off of it. That's all I want.
First of all,
this bitch ain't dusty.
I was going to say, that's not the problem
How
there.
How dare you?
If we could have
you
a listener.
You speak for yourself.
If we could
I'm
have,
sorry. The funk of 40,000 years and grizzly ghouls. BJ, really?
Yeah.
If we could have a listener go back over our history and figure out how many episodes Oral has been single, exactly, that
Ooh.
Would be amazing.
And that's when you should always sleep with one eye open, because I will slit your throat.
Is there going to be a BuzzFeed list of the top
Can we
10
get a listicle?
Oral's thirstiest episodes?
Oh, someone needs to do this. You can also, of course...
First of all, bitch, you just got here. Second of all, Brian, I was going to say my one-up is how far you've come in your understanding of other people's sorrows. But here you are. Basking in it like everybody in your family has always done. And that is the night the lights went out in Georgia.
Thank you, RuPaul Breastbot, whatever the hell
in
this
Breast World.
Are, in Breast World. So you can also find and send us those articles on any of our social media feeds, all of which are available through flameonshow.com. Just go down and look at the little chicklets at the bottom. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Fuck, I don't know what else.
I think
there's
a new one called Vivo.
Things.
Do we have a Vivo yet?
No.
There's like a smartphone one called Vivo.
No, no.
What
no.
about Bear W?
Oh, God, not that thing.
Bear WWW?
Oh, God.
Grizzly app? I don't
Bear
know.
Bear 411?
Bear 411, is that still
these,
around?
These things don't exist anymore.
It is. I just reactivated my account.
Oh, Lord. So
you can find us on seekingarrangements.com. That's where you go if you want to find a sugar daddy.
Oh, Jesus.
If you want to find BJ or Eric online... You can find them on the BBS boards.
Oh.
It doesn't stand for what you think it does.
Oh! That's the gift that keeps on giving. I love that joke. So, yeah, find us out there. Tell us what you think. It's not too late. Send us a happy 200th episode thing. We'd love it. It'd be nice. So, comic books, I don't know. Oral, you tell me. What are you excited about in the world of comics these days?
So, I'll start with what I'm sad about.
Uh-oh.
Russell is finishing up his run on Snagglepuss.
That's true.
And Cates is finishing up his run on Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those have been two of the best series. I always look forward to them. What I'm excited about is Kieran Gillen and McKelvey are in the final home stretch. And by home stretch, I mean there's probably like 10 more issues, including specials of Wicked and Divine. It has been a phenomenal series. If you want like queer characters, if you want deep storytelling, they give it to you in spades. Please, please, please go to your local comic shop. Ask them for Wicked and Divine. They will order it for you if they're worth their weight in salt. For free of charge, mind you. They should order it for you. Or if you'd like to contact a comic shop in Winter Park, Florida, and ask for Oral, he will order it for you. And for the low, low price of $5.99 shipping and handling, plus tax, he will send you those.
Really?
You know, plus the cost of the book.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So, we didn't talk about Free Comic Book Day, did we?
Oh, no. His PTSD has kicked back in.
I'm sorry.
Why would you do that to him?
It just is really, you know, Free Comic Book Day came by. And it's a wonderful day where anyone can walk into a participating brick and mortar store, comic book shop, and pick up free comic books, and they will be happy to assist you and all of your 18 children and all of your cousins and TT around the corner, and will happily explain to you the parameters of their sale. For example, buy two, get one free of equal or fucking lesser value. You don't get a $50 hardcover for free because you bought in combination, in total, $13.62 worth of merchandise, you fucking dumbass. I'm sorry.
It's like I'm sorry. Been there.
I'm sorry.
And done that.
I'm sorry. It was great. It was awesome. A lot of cool things came up.
Yeah.
Ta-Nehisi Coates' new Black Panther gave you a snippet. Also, he's writing Captain America, aka if you read those free comic books, Black Panther, great. That came out as of we're recording. Black Panther number one came out today. It's gorgeous. Daniel Acuna's on art.
Ooh,
it's the intergalactic empire of Wakanda. You'll love it.
Oh, they did pick up on that from Legacy.
Yes,
awesome.
Having said that, his Captain America, I adored. People gonna be mad.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
And it comes out July 4th, which is a day where I get to work instead of being off and eating barbecue.
Aw, we'll bring you some barbecue. How's that?
Please bring me some barbecue. I like ribs and smoked wings.
So this Mark Waid Captain America run is gonna end leading into that.
Yeah.
I'm digging this story. Mm-mm. It's weird, but I mean it's better than I'm liking this future story better than
everything else Mark Waid has done recently. Yes.
The last arc where Cap was in the future and then got sent back to right before he was frozen again was just weird and kind of ridiculous.
That was the 700th issue.
I was like, wow, this is 700? The story at the end was kind of fun, where they pieced together Kirby panels to make a new story.
Yes.
That was kind of cool. But the actual arc that was going on for 700, it was like, yeah.
So what did you think of Bendis's did Man of Steel come out?
It has not. It comes out as of this recording a week from today.
Okay.
And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of worried because Bendis hasn't given us anything that says, I absolutely positively want to read this.
Yeah.
He needs to swing for the rafters. No, he needs to swing for the sky because this is Superman. And if you fuck up Superman, you don't get another chance.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm a little worried after the Free Comic Day story. I did not love it.
It's not bad.
It was just okay. It's just middle of the road. So, what else? Oh, Batman is getting married very soon.
Going to the chapel, Mary. Gonna get married, girl.
So, did you enjoy the Booster Gold, like, weird wedding?
I did.
You did? It was so all over the place, and I really had a hard time putting my finger on what I don't like.
It's called a backdoor pilot.
For Booster?
For Booster.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean,
the thing about Booster is, even though he saved the multiverse, he's the greatest hero you've never heard of.
Yep.
But now he has heft to him. he has an emotional weight. He fucked up royally.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to stay with him forever.
That last,
and how do you move from
that? That last panel was pretty haunting. Like, I mean, it ended very like, oh. Because it felt light, like as like this kind of crazy, wacky adventure, and then it got serious.
That doesn't matter, and then it did.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was interesting. I'm very excited about the ending, like you said, to Snagglepuss. I want to know what they're going to put Russell on next, because his style has been very, like, not traditional superhero, you know, kind of focused. And I just don't know what they're going to do with him. I'm not, I don't know.
Josie and the Pussycats, where they're all prostitutes.
I don't want to see. I want to see him get a real book. Like, I would love to see him do something like Mr. Miracle, even though
the
that's...
The Smurfs, where everyone's in a cult.
That could work.
Weren't that they already?
Work. I mean, kind of.
So is the Snagglepuss book going to end?
Yeah.
Yep. Or, it's only six issues, technically seven with a zero issue.
Okay.
Darkest. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, so, no. So, I read an issue and it fucked me up pretty
hard.
So
are all these Hanna-Barbera ones, are they just limited runs?
No.
Not all of them.
Some are ongoing. But, like, the Flintstones was limited with 12 issues, I think. It just depends on the story they want to do. I don't know if Jetsons is ongoing or not.
No, it was seven issues. Okay. Zero included.
Scooby-Doo Apocalypse went for a good little bit.
It's still going.
Is it still going? Yeah. That's the one that's
still going? Who's reading it, but somebody.
People are reading it. And then people grabbed this one particular issue, which I think is, like, 27, because it was a major death.
Oh. Ooh. So over on the Marvel side, I stopped reading the X-books pretty much entirely. I haven't even read the Wolverine stuff, but I don't know.
I don't understand why you stopped reading Astonishing.
No, Astonishing I still read. I love Astonishing.
Astonishing is old school.
Yep, I like that.
Red has promise. It's just really early.
Red
Oh God, Astonishing with that last that reveal at the end of the last issue.
Excited.
It fucking, because I was like, this A Man Called X arc is okay, and you have the Proteus stuff, but it was kind of like, all right, I liked Life of X much better, and then A Man Called X, I was like, meh, and then it pulled out the final twist, and I was like, and I'm back. This is going to kick some ass.
Soul's got another few issues, or is that the end of his run?
He's got, I think, one or two more issues.
Okay.
Plus, there's an Astonishing X-Men run. Annual that comes out in August. So I can't remember if Soul is on that. I don't think he is.
He's just finishing this arc, right? And then he's done?
Yeah. And Jim Zub is, I think, taking over.
I'm excited for it because there are lasting ramifications, and it's what anybody who has read Astonishing X-Men since that first big reveal at the end of the first story arc has been waiting for.
Okay. But yeah, I'm talking about Blue and Gold, and then specifically Gold, the wedding issue that was evidently not the wedding at all.
Snorefest, yawn burger, with a side of yawn fries.
Chris Claremont finishing up his contract or something. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Oh, and then they had the last issue of Spider-Man, Bendis's send-off for Miles.
Bendis is done now, I think. He may have one more issue of something, but
it came out today.
No, that
Iron
was
Man
Iron
600.
Man.
Oh, okay.
That's his final book with Marvel.
Okay.
But supposedly his last Spider-Man was also fairly like he wrote something about. I mean,
it's
it was his
Kitchen
character.
Sink. That's what that issue was called. Kitchen
Sink. Oh, is that the one where
everything happens?
Yeah.
Everything happens and some of it isn't awesome.
Oh.
Kind of like his last Jessica Jones episode. That's good. Every character I've written is in this issue.
He likes to do that, though.
Let's talk about it. Bendis is a fucking hack. He is.
Hot take.
He's a hack because he's done really great things. He invigorated a lot of lines, but as we have seen for the past four fucking years and more, the way he ends things, he's like, hey, I did all of these things. Let me put everything back in the toy chest, which is trash. It's fucking trash because everything that Bendis does, he says, none of it matters. I put everything back to the status quo because I'm done with these things. He doesn't read the history. He doesn't give a fuck about what you care about. He just does what he wants to do. And then he's like, I'm Bendis. I run this shit. When really, Hickman deserved everything.
Oh, yeah.
Hickman
well,
kept Marvel afloat.
You're not going to get an argument on me. Yeah,
was he really late? True. Really, really, really late with Secret Wars? Absolutely. But that man gave you the strongest and, like, most interesting story arcs he could for Marvel. So much so that they begged him to come back, and he's finishing S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thank God. Oh, my
he's
God.
He's finishing S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'm so excited.
Fuck Bendis. Bendis can kiss my right nut.
How do you really feel?
The though? Lower one?
Not the good one.
Not the good one.
The lower one is the good one.
So, what else with Marvel? I feel like there's some big event happening, but not
well,
really.
We have two issues of Avengers.
Avengers, yes. Avengers. I don't like the art because I'm not a big Ed McGuinness fan, but the story's great. I'm very excited about that. I haven't read the new Thor, but what's his name? My God. No.
I know. Ramon Perez did art Thank for you. The second story oh. in oh, The sorry. Mighty Thor at the Gates of Valhalla, which isn't part of
but it's like
the
a,
main
it's like a bridge book.
Book.
It's like a bridge book to
bridge.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a zero I mean, issue yeah. kind of deal.
Well, I mean, it's still it's all about Jane in the first half, and
right.
then it's Malekith, which I guess will then be, it's basically saying, hey, Mangog and Jane Foster's death, not death, was a thing, but Malekith is still there, and we still have the War of the Nine Realms, so
which, no,
back to this.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's an ongoing thing, which I kind of thought they would have wrapped up, but no.
No, because this is his, like, magnum opus.
Yeah.
Like, this is his Thor run. It's been leading to this. I'm so excited. Jason Aaron does a lot of weird things, which I appreciate, but this is what I think he will be remembered for.
Oh, yeah. No, his Thor stuff is going to be epic and long remembered. What else is Marvel doing then? Is there's no big event, which is kind of nice.
Well,
actually.
No, they said it was going to be 18 months with no big
yeah,
events.
Yeah, so yep. it's sort of eerily quiet. meanwhile, DC just finished up Dark Metal. They're doing that No Justice thing, which is launching the new Justice League series.
And it's funny because for as much as people bitching, like, oh, Marvel's better, oh, DC's better, right now they have two major things that are going on that are the exact same thing.
The weddings.
The weddings,
yep.
which are happening roughly the same exact time.
Yep. yep.
Both calling themselves the wedding of the century.
And Avengers and Justice League.
And then yep. and the Celestials.
Yep.
So it's kind of like,
it is kind of
you're
weird how
just
that works.
Reading one or the other.
yep.
But it's fine. That happens a lot. It's eerily weird.
I'm excited to keep going with X-Men Red. Yeah. I haven't read this last issue.
Ooh,
apparently Storm is going to be staying on with the team as well. Gambit was there like, hey, this is our old school character that's going to be on the team. And now they're bringing Storm, which I'm excited for Jean and Storm to be on.
Ooh, speaking
the team
of Jean,
together.
Did they bring back young Jean yet?
Not that I've seen.
Huh.
At the end of, I think we still have one more issue of Cry Havoc, which is the arc they're currently on in Blue, which for two issues, I believe, maybe three, it was just this one arc while they were finishing Poison X in the Venom books, and then they started doing like epilogues where the X-Men are coming back from space and Danger, who was critically like damaged, and Cyclops apparently had to kill Jean while she was a poison, and he's all mopey and depressed, and I don't know, it's all gonna collide, and then Extinction happens,
which nobody knows what that is, but you know what, We are long overdue for an X-Men event where we're just like, what is this? Horror? Oh, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
As long as it's not another Battle of the Atom. Because I was so excited for that.
That wasn't bad.
I thought it was okay.
It was
but I don't know. It was,
it was such a cop-out with the future, like the future part of it.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, the first part of the future, that wasn't bad, because I like Wiccan as a Sorcerer Supreme also on the X-Men.
True.
As a heavy hitter.
I mean, I'm not saying it was a horrible crossover.
No, and then
it just wasn't super strong.
Yeah, the latter part happened. And that
yeah, it they can't seem to land these crossover storylines well.
No. Remember when we realized that Dove, that ship that's white and not the Blackbird, was the biggest thing to come out of Battle of the Atom? You were like, oh, okay.
Remember when Storm had a daughter that came out of that?
Aww.
Remember when Storm got Storm Chaser back?
Remember Berries?
I love it.
It was like,
I love that outfit on her. I love it.
No, it's great.
Because it just brings me back to the What If issue. Because that was where that costume first came about. Mm-hmm. Was What If Storm had the power of Thor? and it was Storm on the cover, like that classic cover, like spinning Mjolnir, and the feather helmet. Oh, I love it.
It's great. I just don't know. I was reading, like, I think issue 26 or 27 of Gold, and they're like, Storm, are you trying to, like, are you practicing with your new hammer? He's like, oh, no, I'm trying to get rid of the old. And I'm like, wait a minute, is that? And I looked at the editor's note, and I ran to the, like, I ran over to where it would be, and I pulled it off the shelf, and I was reading in between people. I'm like, what the fuck?
So if you have a comic book that you are very excited about and enjoying, or from Free Comic Book Day you want to talk about us, share it with us, just message us on flameonshow.com, all the little social media things. Let us know, because we will talk about it and maybe even check it out if we haven't already. So that brings us to our one-ups for the week. This is the thing that is giving us life. And this is not necessarily related to our show history, but if it is, that's great too. I will start, because I actually know what I want to talk about. I don't have to wait for everybody else to go around. Moogfest, if you have been following Nerdy Show, social media, Consequence of Sound, you may have seen Cap and Cap's brother and myself running around the city of Durham, North Carolina, covering Moogfest 2018. It is an annual music festival of the electronic arts. Lots of very cool musicians, synthesizer engineers, very interesting figures in society. I mean, it really is kind of a lot of different random things happening over the course of like 4 days. There's a great write-up that we all contributed to on consequenceofsound.net. I believe also Nerdy Show will be putting out a podcast of us talking on our way back from Durham late on a Sunday evening in the middle of a storm driving back. That will be amazing. No, it was actually a fun conversation, but we apologize in advance for any audio irregularities. Moogfest is amazing. I love doing it every year. It is something that gives me life, even if it takes from my pocket and causes additional things to appear in my life and my synthesizers and my collection of things.
What esoteric thing did you buy this year? Oh. Remember that theremin you spent hundreds of dollars on and you haven't touched?
I wish you hadn't remembered. No. I have three more Eurorack modules for my little synthesizer as I beckon to what the listener cannot see.
I swear to God, if you don't end up... Okay, I will state this now.
Oh, boy.
I will end up on Drag Race before Brian ends up on... I won't make it easy for you. Hearts of Space.
Oh, my God. You really did make it hard there. Okay. Well, we'll see. I've set some modest goals for this next 6 months, so we'll see. But anyway, it's fun. It's fun. I love Moogfest. Definitely something anyone, if you are interested in electronic music, should check out and just read the write-up and check out our cool pictures. And that's all I have for my one-up, BJ.
Actually, mine may one day take me away from you all. I haven't heard anything back yet, but I applied for a job with the FDA. That's super.
Girl, this is fantastic. But didn't we tell you to stop making them about yourself?
What?
Well, I mean,
my one up.
It's giving him life,
right?
Potentially in the future.
We're gonna have to make our own Zaxxon rule, where this is something that our listeners can also partake in.
I mean,
so listeners, if you want to become part of BJ's life.
If you want to apply for a job with the FDA, they're still hiring. but no, it's with research and researching all the gross stuff that the FDA allows to go into your food. So I can't wait. I'm very excited about it. Parts per million of insect parts and rat droppings.
Oh God, no!
Yep.
Oh.
My jobs are always disgusting.
All right, Oral.
My one up is that years into this podcast, you have continued to listen to us, and we deeply appreciate that. Also, I have stayed as nubile and as gorgeous and dewy as when I started, because I recently saw a picture of me. I'm just like, oh, that's around the time that we started this podcast. I'm like, oh, the only thing is I grew a beard. Girl, you look so good. So thank you, listeners. Because every time you listen, I steal a second of your soul.
That's how you do it. Oh, I wondered. Okay, good. Eric?
So, as a proud Hufflepuff, I got... I had a fun experience where I got to go see an off-Broadway show called Puffs, or Seven Increasingly Eventful Years at a Certain School of Magic and Magic, which was filmed for Fathom Events. It was fantastic. It told the stories of the background Puffs throughout the 7 years that a certain wizard was there at school.
You know what I love about Hufflepuff Pride? It's like, Mommy, I'm a big kid now because you bought me pull-ups.
Well, their catchphrase was third or nothing. Third or nothing.
I'd rather choose oblivion.
Wow.
Not the tap room, because that's the restaurant that's also full of Hufflepuff.
And they're closing.
Again.
Thank God.
Again. I forgot they were even open until somebody posted a picture there, and I was like, oh, I forgot about that place.
Was it me and Dennis?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe it was, yeah.
Yep.
I hear the smoked wings are good.
They are.
They are. And their mac and cheese balls are awesome.
I can get mac and cheese balls from any basic place ever. And smoked wings, well, there's a place next to my house that's literally within walking distance, and I'm good to go.
Eric, did that give you life?
It did give me life.
Excellent.
Oh, pretending to be a part of Hogwarts? There you go.
Oh, good my
you,
God.
Girl. You know what Hufflepuffs are? Cannon fodder.
Oh,
not even cannon fodder that you remember.
Oh, what's his face?
You stayed Dewey over there.
Yes, because
and nubile. Don't forget nubile.
Because Brian nubile, just showed a picture, and I'm just like, where is the change but the beard? Brian, where was the change but the beard?
I don't even know who
that was. That's what I thought.
Somebody was with you. It wasn't me.
I mean, I measured the time in Brian. So,
oh, all the gray, all the gray.
Old man river, that old man river.
I love that song. Pat, what's giving you life?
So, to celebrate 200 episodes, it has been just about 6 years since I came into the Flame On world. And it's been, well, no, yeah, because Gay Days.
Yep.
Trust me. There's a giant six balloon sitting over here in the corner celebrating my 6 year anniversary of Bears in the City.
Ah.
And I met you right after, or shortly thereafter. So we've known each other. Actually, I think we just celebrated 6 years on Facebook.
That's right.
Because I'm blocked on my main account, so I couldn't post anything.
Why are you blocked?
Yeah, I was wondering what was going on with that.
How I almost also got blocked.
VPL.
Tasteful photos. Tasteful photos.
Well,
it's art.
The funny part is that this is the fourth time it's happened. Because the first time they block you, or that they remove a picture for what they deem as inappropriate for community guidelines, such as nudity.
Or rigging an election. Oh, nope, that doesn't count.
Nope.
Nope, that stays. You don't get blocked for that.
Or fake news.
I think the first one was because of a Flesh Friday picture of one of the porn stars from Parliament House.
That was my fault.
Nope, that was mine. One? Maybe. The second time, I think, was for a Wolf of the Day from Bears in the City, where there are our sexy photos get put up. Third one was for, because that was a day, and then a week was for Flesh Friday, because Brian sent me pictures and I didn't review them carefully enough.
And I
the guy was wearing mesh underwear, and when Flash hits mesh underwear, apparently you can see his entire dick in
the picture. Totally missed
it.
So then I got blocked for a week, and now this time was for another Wolf of the Day picture, where the guy is sitting there in a white Speedo, has his hand down like one side of the Speedo, and there's VPL in the picture, and that got nabbed for nudity, apparently. Visible penis line, VPL.
Oh, sorry.
I thought you said BPL.
I heard BPL.
And
I was like balls, penis, and...
No, visible penis line.
Visible penis line.
I got blocked for 30 days, so I couldn't post anything. So now,
right before you went to DragCon.
Right before I went to LA. I'm like, I'm going to a place I've never been before, and I can't keep up with my LA friends. But like five of them I have.
That was so dumb. Ugh.
So I turned to Instagram to be able to like message people and keep in touch. So 6 years, Bears in the City, 6 years roughly of being a part of Flame On and finding a new family here and being able to do things and talk to people that I probably would never have the opportunity to otherwise. It falls in line with my job as photographer at Parliament House. The people that I've met and been exposed to for both of these things has been amazing. So I want to thank each and every one of you out there listening right now, because if y'all weren't listening, we wouldn't keep doing this, because as much as we enjoy it, there needs to be a means to an end, and that means is the means is having you out there listening. So thank you for that.
And get me to IML at 2019.
Exactly. Jesus.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
And my actual one-up is Bendela Christ.
Oh.
We'll talk more about it if you followed the Flame On Instagram, because it only posted there because I couldn't post to the Flame On Facebook page because it still won't let me do that. If you followed along on the Flame On Facebook Instagram, you will have seen all the pictures from around DryCon that I took. But above all, I said I'm not going to really take pictures with queens I've worked with or I'm about to work with. Although I wanted to take a picture with Monet because she looked fucking great.
Really?
At DryCon.
Aw,
she
good for her.
Looked sickening. And when I was going to get in line with Sean and Michael, they cut the line off right before.
Bitches.
So then I spent 2 hours waiting for RuPaul and I did two panels and I didn't get a chance to see her on Saturday. But Bendela Creme had an entire little like chapel background and was dressed in saintly attire.
With like a lamb?
With a little lamb. Because she's Bendela Christ.
Yep. No, it looks pretty amazing.
And I was like, I don't care that I just saw her 2 months ago. I am going to do whatever it takes to take a picture with her. And that meant buying her Dela Out shirt, where it's Dela written in white out with a little white out bottle.
Cute.
Which was adorable, and I would have bought it anyway. But then I got to take a picture with her. And that gave me absolute life while I was out in L.A.
Yeah, there's some really great pictures. If you go on Instagram, look up Flame On Show.
Flame On Show. We're only Flame On Podcast on Twitter.
Thanks, Oral.
Just kidding. Hey, Phil. How? You literally told me if you could do me a favor.
You did it. You were amazing.
The Twitter handle. And I did. At Flame On Podcast, because that's what I thought our branding would be.
You didn't check the style guide? No, there's no style guide.
What style guide?
I'm joking. Nothing.
The one that Josh always had for us, but didn't tell us that.
That's right. Josh did write it.
But then he wouldn't tell you, and then he would just write a little...
Did you not read in my style guide?
It's like the book about the childlike empress and the never-ending story. Nobody actually read it. They heard about it. It seemed all right, but you could really not fuck with it if you wanted.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We really do exist because of your support.
And as a special 200th episode surprise, you will have seen this in your newsfeed when you go to see our podcast. We have a new logo.
Yes.
What?
Yes,
it's been
right.
A long time coming.
I think I saw it a year ago.
I'm shocked.
It's been a long time.
I've never seen it.
It
Who did the logo?
Is drawn by our good friend Danny Haas, and it is now up on the feed. It is our new logo. By the time you listen to this, all of our social media should be changed to reflect it, including quite probably some updates to the Flame On page at nerdyshow.com.
I was going to say, I just went to that the other day, and I was like, oh.
And it still has that picture from Gay Days 2011 yes. of the original boys with the zebra.
You know, yeah. That was a good picture.
It's cute as fuck, but God.
If 7 years old. To imagine what I look like now, just add a beard. Just add a beard. Aww. Also, I want to say for the record, this is how you know I love you, bitches. Popeyes is closing in like 4 minutes and I'm not going to make it.
I'm so sad. Like, I thought they would be open late.
No, they're not. Because Aww. It's Winter Park. They're fucked this place.
Oh, what about the one at OBT?
I'm not driving all the way out there.
There's one on Cimarron.
I'm also not driving all the way out there.
Well, if you have enjoyed this, please give us a little review on iTunes. You can just do a star, and it really does help get the word out. But any and all social media platforms that you can share our love on, it'd be greatly appreciated. We want to be here for many years to come. So please help us spread that flame on word all over the world. And that's it. Happy 200.
Happy 200.
Happy 200. Bang, 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 bang.
Oh, God damn it.
Hi, porn.
Happy 200. And girl, oh, I don't look a day over 3,000. I'm so proud. Because, you know, Black Magic is my middle name.
Eric?
Hi.
I was like, where's your happy 200?
Happy 200? I didn't know how to follow up oral.
Never do.
No
never
one
do.
Ever does.
You follow up oral with butt stuff. Everybody knows that.
There it is.